Now, introducing Steve Lampen, I'm not going to go through all the BS, but we got, he's on the SBE board, and we also have Mr. Browns, our Steve Brown. So we got a nice group of people here, and I see everybody's kind of waking up and laughing. And Steve, I said, if I had a dollar for every foot of building cable I bought, I'd be a millionaire plus. And then I also said to Steve, when we did the speaker test cables, remember that a while back, a number of years ago, and he wrote the article in Radio World, and I said, I keep looking in the Belden catalog and online, but I don't see you coming up with barbed wire speaker cables. So.
Too sharp.
So, sir.
Yes.
Duh.
Duh. Somebody said I have to say duh today.
Go for it. And tell us what all we want to know. What's coming next? Who knows, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Here's Steve.
Thank you. I really don't know why you're applauding, because I'm going to depress you is what I'm here to do. And the depression starts at the fact that I got you up at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is way too early. And back in San Francisco, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, so I guarantee you my wife, who has the uncanny ability of calling me when I'm speaking, and you might, if you've seen me before, see my phone go off at the very time that I'm speaking, either that or the bathroom, one or the other. Her ESP is really good. But I don't think this morning she's going to manage to do it, because she's asleep. But hopefully you're not asleep, and I'm amazed to see more than two or three people here at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the thing is, by the time we're done, I hope to have whirled your head around so many times that you probably can't make sense of anything, much less my presentation. And the whole point is, what is coming next? Well, I'm pushing the button. Oh, there we are. Well, I mean, how many presentations have you listened to so far here and at other shows? Hundreds, probably. And everybody's talking about IP and data and the cloud and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I mean, here I am, a wire guy. Now, I've been 2 years retired from Belden. Oh, but I should tell you, this, you know, I keep threatening to retire. I've been retired for 2 years, but, and it looks like this is probably going to be my last presentation, so it's ideal that it's 8 o'clock in the morning, so only a few people will hear it. This is good, because I'm about to let loose, okay? And the whole point is, here's a wire guy who's telling you that data has won. Well, you knew that. You already know that. And if you haven't known that, your head's in the sand. Because data has won. They won a long time ago. They really started winning in the 50s and 60s when all the computers went from analog to digital. I mean, that was you probably weren't even alone or alive, half of you, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And everybody is going in this direction. That's why I have this list here, you know, AM broadcasters, FM broadcasters, TV, you know. I mean, theatrical lighting controls are going digital, are going into data, are going to Ethernet. You know, and factory floor automation, everything in the world is going to Ethernet, whether you like it or not. And there are reasons why. And it's not that it's the fastest or the best or the easiest or the cheapest. It's none of those reasons. It's the fact of the economy of scale is really the thing that is making this go. That there are so many things out there. And the idea of moving a bit of data is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. I mean, you know Moore's Law. If you don't worry about it. And the whole point is, it's now on top of you if it's not already part of you. And so the fact that the guy who's going to replace you is an IT guy, well, that's in fact correct. He better be an IT guy because it's 99% data and 1% analog. And it's only analog because your eyes and ears are still analog. And you may laugh, but in 100 years, I'm not sure if that's going to be true either. Maybe, and gee whiz, we're now playing with DNA. Imagine what we might be able to do. Digitize the next generation. I mean, this sounds crazy, but, you know, why not? Okay. Digital is one. Everything, that's what I was just saying. Everything starts in the analog, but it doesn't stay there very long anymore, and it ends up in the analog. So the whole point is getting stuff somewhere doesn't have to be analog. It doesn't have to be anything you recognize or can hear or can see. It's just data. And this is the point. If you're talking about a radio station or a TV station, if you're a radio station and you get your spoken word or your music or your commercials or your interstitials or whatever you have, your IDs, and they get to your listeners and they sound good and correct, you have done your job. That's it. End of story. How they got there makes no difference whatsoever. And the interesting thing is I had a conversation just last night with someone who I don't think is in the audience this morning, because we were up late last night, and he was bemoaning the sales of analog broadcast consoles, that they're still being sold. And I said, well, there are still people who buy horses, you know? And that's fine, and horses are fun to have. And maybe analog consoles are fun to have because they're easy to use and you know how they work. But would you use one? Well, I wouldn't take one into the cloud. Doesn't make any sense, right? So, yeah, digital is easier to distribute, easier to use. So everything is data. And you know, if you have wideband content like video, you just use more data. You use more of it. You don't have to get something special to handle it. And that's the other thing that Kirk Harnack was talking about yesterday was, you know, all these purpose-built devices. Well, this is something that the data world has gotten rid of a long time ago. Was a purpose-built device. And what they realize is that if everything is data, then all you need is one device, really, ultimately. And what does that thing look like? Well, I'm going to show you one. They already exist. You might have played with them, but you might not. And in fact, you might never play with them, but you'll still use them. We'll get there. Okay. Well, you know what this is. This is a data center, right? And this is, you know, 1,000 racks or 10,000 racks, or if it's the cloud, it's 1 billion racks, you know. I mean, it just never ends. And where is this data center? Oh, you don't know. You don't know where it is. You don't really care where it is. I've always joked and said the perfect places to put these million rack data centers, one would be in Antarctica, because there's a lot of space and nobody's there, and it's very cold, which these things like. You know, you need to cool them down. Although cooling is one thing I'll get to in a little more detail. And the other place you could put one of these is Siberia, because there are all these engineers from the days of the Gulag who are still living there who could work them, you know, and that would be great. And the third, you need to have three in order that you don't lose any data, you know, this thing. And the third needs to be on a Lagrange point in outer space, you know, sitting there. And so all the hackers, this is called hacker's prison. You send the hackers up to this thing, they can't leave. And their job is to maintain this third point in this triangle. And, you know, I've been saying this for 25 years now. And at first, people just kind of snickered, and now we're getting close. We don't have something in outer space yet, but believe me, it's coming. Now, the funny thing is, because this is a data center, and your stuff is going to go into a data center, guess what? This is you. I mean, this is a TV station. That's what it looks like. Though, that's the TV station of tomorrow, maybe, or, you know, later this afternoon, maybe. But it's a TV station, and this is a radio station, you know. Maybe less racks. Maybe not all the racks here are for the radio station. And that's the one thing. I've actually visited one of these places. And I went in because a good friend of mine works there. That's the only way I got in. Because you wouldn't believe the encryption and the codes and the things that he had to do, eyeballs and fingerprints and stuff to get in. And I knew this was serious when I noticed that the guard at the front desk had an Uzi. I kid you not. And this place is 100% fiber. And what else can I tell you? Well, I remember walking down this aisle, and there was a single rack right in the middle of this aisle. There were thousands of racks in the building, but there was one rack. I said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, let's see, I can't even tell you the name of the city. That's a major city in the United States. That's what that rack is." No shit. One rack is all the data for that city. So I'm thinking, okay, if you're a radio station, and what you are using is some kind of software package, and it's in a data center, where is it? Well, A, you don't know. B, you don't care where it is. It could be any of these racks. And plus, they probably wouldn't let you in. Why are you going in? Are you going to fix something here? Give me a break. There's nothing you can fix. There's nothing to fix. If something needs fixing, if something breaks, they hot swap. I'm going to talk about that too. And the whole point is, it's going to get to the point where there are no humans here. That when something breaks, the robot comes up, pulls out that device, puts in a new device, which are all hot swappable. It then integrates itself back into the system, and you don't even know anything's changed. And so when things get better each year, when they improve, it'll just improve. If you buy a new software package to run on this, well, that's the thing. You probably won't buy it. It's not worth it. You're going to rent it. So, here's 10,000 racks in Antarctica, right? Which is like the cloud, you know. Might as well be. Do you really care where they are? No, you don't care. You can't care. You won't be able to care. As long as you can put your signals into this thing and take them out the other end, and you get the best quality of audio and video and everything else, whatever you tell me what quality is, sure, you can buy that. Oh, I remember the days when we first went from analog to digital and people were moaning and wailing about the fact that digital artificially limited the bandwidth of stuff and therefore it wasn't real and you were losing stuff, you know, and there were frequencies on the LP that didn't appear in the digital. Oh, what a piece of crap. That is no longer true. You want to have 50 kilohertz of bandwidth? Not a problem. Just a few more bucks, and they'll give you 50 kilohertz or 100 kilohertz. I mean, you know, how good are your ears again? You know, who cares? More than you could possibly want. And the first salvo of this change happened 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Where were you? 10 years ago. And it was this guy who at the time nobody had heard of, named Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah, Mr. Facebook. Mr. Facebook had this brilliant idea. Now, this guy is, I guess you would have to say he's fairly much a genius, because he seems to have survived pretty well. And one of the things he did 10 years ago was he got a bunch of his engineers together and said to them, okay, now tell me, if you didn't have to buy all that stuff out there that's out there, and you could just magically design it from scratch, what would you do differently? And they went off and thought about this, and they came back with something which is called OCP, the Outside Compute Project. And if you don't believe me, just go to Google and put in OCP, and you will have enough to read for the next millennia on this. There's a show every year, which is the OCP platform show. I don't even remember what it's called. It's out on the West Coast, which is where I live, so I've been to a bunch of these. And it's amazing. It's astounding. And let me just tell you some of these things which are so obvious. It's just they never existed before, that's all. And you thought you were stuck with what there was. Well, these guys reinvented that. Starting with this. Now, here's a picture of a rack. That's a 19-inch rack. Tell me what year this photograph was taken. Anybody want to make just a guess? He says 1910. That's a very good guess, because the answer is 1911. Okay, this is a relay rack from 1911. What was it relaying? It certainly wasn't doing computer stuff, clearly. No, no. I think I heard somebody say railroad. This is where the 19-inch rack came from. From the railroads. And you're still stuck with it. Well, you're not stuck with it, but you think you're stuck with it. You go buy a rack, and this is what they hand you, right? And there's 19, and there's 24, and those 1032 screws, and 1024 screws, and yeah, you get the idea, all those things. Somebody decided something for you. And you thought, that's it, that's... Oh, I remember playing with 1024 screws and 1032s, mostly 1032s, and, you know, fancy washers, and I thought it was cool, but you're kind of stuck. What the Facebook people said is, no screws. No screws. What holds the stuff in? It goes in at an angle, so the weight of the thing itself keeps it in place. And if you're going to hot swap it, you just pull it out and put a new one in. Oh, duh. See? Yeah. I did my oh, duh. It's like I was supposed to. Okay. Anything else is non-standard. You know, all those military racks. They used to be dozens and dozens of surplus stores where you could buy all this old stuff. And I used to play around with these in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and maybe 90s, sort of. The last one I know of that's still going, there are a few of them. One is Skycraft in Winter Park, Florida. Now, I'm in San Francisco, you understand, so this is a big deal that when I go to Orlando, Florida, I usually take a trip off to the side to Winter Park and walk through this place. And it's this big old warehouse. And since at the time I was a Belden guy and had Belden on my sweatshirt or t-shirt or whatever, that they would think I was the wire police, you know? And I was here to say, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, or... And no, I was just telling them, hey, the label says it's this, but no, it's in fact, it's something better than that. You should get twice as much money for that. So They liked having me come. So, the whole point is, these places are gone too, like everything else. So it's too bad. There are many of them. And you probably remember going to these places. And that's where you could get racks for cheap. And they were all like that. But that's okay, you know. Now we're going to get racks like this. I mean, this is an OCP rack. And I should tell you that Belden has a division of Belden's company that makes racks. And they make OCP racks. That's the first time I ever saw an OCP rack was at a trade show that was a Belden booth. And this was many years ago now. And it blew me away. And the guy was explaining to me all these changes in the rack. No screws anywhere and all this stuff that was an angle. And none of the machinery that plugs into this has power. Here's the kind of thing that plugs into this. And you might say, oh, this is a server. Well, not exactly. It's kind of a little bit of everything. It has processing, it has memory. It has everything you need. And so the whole point is, if one of these boxes doesn't have enough, it just uses the next box. And if that's not enough, it uses the next box. And if it doesn't have enough, it uses the next rack. And it keeps on building until it has whatever you want. The thing is, if you're asking it to, you know, calculate, pi to the last digit, and they're going to send you a bill at the end, right? So, you know, be careful what you ask for, you know, like everything else. But if you're talking about audio or video or something else, that's just a form of data. Go through these things. And there's no power supply in here. Because the power supply is in some other building. And the power supply, oh, well, here's OCP. Some memory, some processing, and some distribution, some something of, you know, a bit of everything. So here's the deal. If you want to do broadcasting through this, you might think about this box and say, wait a minute, I'm going to need a specific thing, a thing, a part, a something, a tweak, a bell, a whistle, so I can do my radio thing, whatever that is. And maybe you go to the guys who make those boxes and say, when you make them, and they make them, you know, 10,000 at a time, can you just put a tweak in for me and a tweak here? Because by doing that, they're going to get a few thousand radio stations or tens of thousands, a few 10,000 radio stations. Well, that might be worth their time. One more customer by simply adding a couple of parts. Or maybe they don't need to add anything. Maybe there's enough there already. That's the point. Do you know? I don't know. They don't know. But somebody knows. And the whole point is, okay. Oh, here's where the power comes from. And this is one thing I think is interesting. That is 100 amp, 12 volts is what that is. There are three sets of rails at the back of each rack. So you're hitting at least two sets of rails with a device. And that means that if one set of rails dies for whatever reason, you have a backup automatically. If two rails die, then somebody's fixing the power supply and you've gone to a different power supply already and you didn't notice that it had changed. But somebody noticed and there was a big red light that went on somewhere and some robot suddenly woke up and went to fix something. And that, I'll tell you, you talk about wire and cable. You notice the only wire and cable I have mentioned so far, other than fiber, is these giant 12, I don't know what gauge these are, they're huge 12-volt conductors from wherever that power supply is. So the whole point is, the amount of cooling in this rack is quite minimal. It's very easy to cool. There's no power supply. The power supply is in some other building. That's the building that is cooled. Yeah, all makes sense. Okay, resiliency, not redundancy. They want it to always work. Well, if that isn't what you want, I can't imagine what it is, you know? Yeah, it's not about redundancy. Yeah, redundancy is fine. The whole point of redundancy is resiliency. It doesn't stop working. And so the whole point is, by the time you're done building your radio station, however this is going to work, you're going to have one that people will say, you know, the one difference I've noticed listening to my program that I love, that I listen to all the time, is they used to occasionally make a mistake. And there aren't any mistakes anymore. Everything is perfect. And, you know, they used to play the wrong selection, or can't find the spot, or not anymore. Not anymore. So if anything, the quality of your broadcast will go dramatically up. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to have this software package. And originally I said you're going to buy the software package, but that doesn't make any sense. Because if you buy a software package, what happens when a better software package comes out? You're going to buy that too? Well, that's ridiculous. That's a waste of money. So what you need to do is lease or rent your package. And you rent it with the idea that whatever is the best stuff out there, if they make something better tomorrow, they give that to you as well. So it makes sense that the people who are doing this are the same people who run that giant data center that you're in. So you're renting two things from them, the use of their center and the software package that is overlaid on their stuff. And that's the whole point is, there are some days, if you're doing a lot of stuff in your radio station, shall we say, that you might use more data power than you will on a regular day when you're just playing stuff back. And so you would use, you know, a rack and a half instead of a quarter of a rack like you normally would, in which case they would simply send you the bill. And this is one of the problems is, how do you know they're telling you the truth? You're not there. You haven't seen it. You don't know. And if they sent you the data that showed your stuff being used, you wouldn't be able to read it. It's not even your language. So, I guess then you hire a robot that could tell you it's real, or something to that effect. Yeah, the data industry is 100 times bigger than you are, Mr. Broadcaster. But that only means that they could add 1% more customers to their fold by simply adjusting and changing and making new different kinds of boxes than they had made before. And the interesting thing is, if you're looking at these and they're taking, say, 20 or 40 of these boxes in a rack, and you have 10,000 racks, that's 400,000 boxes. What if you have 1 million racks? That's 40 million boxes. What if you have 1 billion racks? And the whole point is that the cost of that box will go down and down and down and down. Another reason you don't want to buy one, because it'll be $199 now, and it'll be $99 by Christmas, and it'll be $9.99 next year. And you'll say, I screwed up. So don't buy it. Rent. Lease, at the most. Okay, so what is this software package that you have do? Well, it's very simple. It does all these things that you want it to do. It will pick up things. It will go places and get stuff for you. Now, you know perfectly well that there are dozens, maybe hundreds of places now that will sell you a piece of music. And so you're an oldie station. There are probably four or five people you could go to and buy every oldie that's ever been known, and they're loading them up faster than you could use them anyway. And maybe you have a deal that once you have bought it, you can maybe buy the rights to that for eternity or something like that, in which case, that's it, you paid for it. Or if you don't like the quality, and I'll tell you, there's an amazing thing about quality, and I hear this on the radio now, is if you listen to oldies, I'm talking about 50s oldies or 78 oldies, you know, I mean, the old oldies, some of those sound spectacular. And that's simply because all this processing that we've learned how to do, clicks and pops and you know, I mean, I don't even know all the things out there that are available to bring back. I've heard cylinders that you wouldn't believe that this was done on a cylinder, because there's stuff that they've pulled out of that cylinder now that is amazing. And so the whole point is that's going to be improving too. So don't buy that either. But the whole point is, if you don't like what, you know, that Elvis piece sounds like, that they didn't do a very good job of transcribing it from its original 45 or LP or whatever it was into this format that is now compatible with your data, then you know what? You could do it yourself. This is a business idea for you, is to transcribe music in that format. You could be the king of 1960, you know, and that music, by having stuff to transcribe it, if you wanted something to make money with, besides just the station itself. But you don't have to. You could use it the way it exists. And if you're an all-talk station, obviously there's nothing else to buy except the talk. And this is the interesting part. Because most things are sent to you to be played. If it's your IDs, obviously you get somebody to make your IDs. You could do them yourself. And once those exist, you never have to do them again until you're tired of the ones that you have. All the interstitials that you have, you can imagine, all the stuff that you use are all things that could be fed from some source out there into your software package in this data center that you don't even know where it is. And you simply tell this package what to do with it. And inside this package, the most amazing part is that really this package is AI, artificial intelligence. And you'll tell it, here's what I want. I want it to play music for 20 minutes, and then I want a spoken intro or something in there. And, of course, at the top of the hour, I have to have an ID, and there's an EAS going to come in, and I want you to fit it perfectly into the format when it comes in. And this AI will say, well, of course, I will do that, O great master. And push the button, and there it goes. And all you really have to do, the one thing you have to do, I know this is asking a lot, is to listen to your station. Because if anything doesn't sound like you want it to sound like, you're going to tell the software, I didn't like that. And it'll either say, I'm going to go find a better copy of it, or what didn't you like about it, let's remake it, or you get the idea. Next time, it will be fixed, whatever it is. So, most viewers or listeners won't even notice the change. In fact, they'll say, wow, this is like the best I've ever heard your station. You never make mistakes. I can't imagine how you do that. But there's one thing I've left out, And I'm not sure if... Oh, well, yeah, there's how to build an OCP center. But let me talk about... I have 11 minutes to go. And let me waste most of those talking about one thing. The piece that's missing here, and that is live spoken word. How in the world do you get the live spoken word into the data center and have it integrated into this package so that it makes sense? Well, here's how I think this is going to happen. Now, you might look back in 20 years and laugh at this, but maybe not. I think somebody's going to make a box. Maybe you should make this box. I'm sure Telos or somebody or Gates Air or you know any one of 1,000 people out there, 1,000 companies could make this box. Maybe they all will make 1,000 different variations on this box. And what this box is very simple. To the untrained eye, it looks like a little mixer. Maybe it's the size of a briefcase. It's pretty small. And it has, oh, let's say 4 mic inputs. And it has phantom power if you want a really good mic, and that you can turn the phantom power off and use a dynamic mic. You get, you know, same stuff as all those mixers out there. If there's EQ, it might be a little deeper in the software of this thing, because this is not run by people who actually understand it. They don't have to understand it. So you don't want them to fool around with things. In fact, I guarantee you that if you didn't like the way this person sounded, you as the owner, from where you are and your laptop, can get into their box and change the EQ until you like the way it sounds. Okay, you like this? Okay, yeah. And where is this? This is sitting on the kitchen table of a housewife in the city where the transmitter is. Now, that box and the transmitter are the only two things that you own that are in this city. And here's a housewife who has a really beautiful voice. But she has a bunch of kids and doesn't have time for a full-time job. But here's the perfect job for her at home. And that is to sit at her kitchen table and talk into this microphone. And this thing is now attached to the internet. Now, I would say hardwire is more reliable than wireless, but, you know, I'm just splitting hairs here. And the point is, she does a shtick. She has things to say. Whether it's what's happening in the news, whether it's her neighbors. Now, her neighbors could come over and sit at her table, and she could talk to them. And after a while, I guarantee you, you'd walk in and suddenly, oh, look who's at the table. The mayor is sitting there at her kitchen table. And it could be Jeannie's Kitchen Table. Maybe that's the name of her show. And it's local, and it's live. And if local is not the way the radio's going, that's the thing that makes it work, as you know. If it's not local, then it might as well be one channel. And so the point is, you find these people who have the personality, who have the voice, but they don't have the technical ability. Not necessary. They have like 3 or 4 buttons to push, on, off. And what happens is they push on, they start talking. There might be some kind of U-meter thing, so they know what the stuff is working, you know, but that's pretty much it. And after a few, say, 30 seconds or something, they push off. And that 30 seconds is now recorded in that box and is sent over the public internet to your master server, to your software package, where it is expecting a piece of audio to come in that's 30 seconds long because it's been looking at this box, and it will insert it in the perfect place between 2 pieces of music. And maybe there's a little a little a display on her board that tells her, here's the music that played just before your piece, and here's the music that will play after. And there's a little thing she can hit if she wants details on what was this piece of music that just played before. She can hit details, and it shows a little paragraph about who it is. And she wants more details, it'll go on forever and tell you the history of Elvis, you know, if that's what she needs to know. Because maybe she has nothing to talk about, and she could do that, just tell you the history of this recording. If she could do it in a way that is fun or interesting. And the whole point is, so she could be there with a bunch of people talking, or could be just her, or him, or them, and it could be anywhere. She could now, once she's done doing her show, she could take this little briefcase and go to the mayor's office or go to the county fair and just broadcast from anywhere. How hard is that? We're back to RPUs, you know? The ultimate RPU, local broadcasting. Well, that's the thing. Rent it, don't buy it. So the whole point is this. I think radio really can be super alive. And I think something like this is just the way to keep it alive. By giving your audience something they haven't heard in a long time. Local radio, radio that's different, fun, unusual, with voices they haven't heard before, with personalities. And believe me, you're sitting somewhere else. You're sitting in Sri Lanka listening to this. And if you don't like what you're hearing, well, guess what? You're the owner. You can tell your AI server, wherever that is in Antarctica, to play or not to play, to turn this person off because you don't like what they said. Oh, that's another thing, by the way. This artificial intelligence is doing what exactly these two screens are doing. It's looking at the content of the spoken word. And you have said, here are the 10 words that will not be said on my radio station. If those still exist, by the way, I mean, I'm not sure it makes a difference. But, or here are the things I don't want them to talk about, you know, religion, politics, or maybe that's, I think a station that does only religion and politics would be a hit station, okay? Just my idea. How about the politics of religion? I mean, boy, I tell you, yeah, exactly, you could really get going. Everybody would tune in, at least for the first week. Oh, yeah, I've already said all this stuff, so you get a copy of my slides if you've forgotten anything I was going to say. So where's your broadcast facility? It doesn't exist. There is no building. There is no studio. There is no turntable. There is no cart machine. There is no server. Not anything you own. They don't exist. They're somewhere else. And it doesn't matter because you're going to have the best radio station, or making the jump from radio to TV is pretty simple. I mean, it's just pictures with the words, you know. Fitting things together, maybe a little more bandwidth, a little more computing power. Oh, you're going to a third or fourth rack. Eh, that's all right. The bill goes up a little bit, but not by much. You might have a small local office for sales. In fact, I don't think you're going to have that because you want the sales guys to be out on the road selling, right? If they're in the office, they're not working. So maybe you don't have a sales office. Maybe they work out of their home, and that's it. They're really physically, the only reason you have a physical station, I guess, is because the commission still requires you to have a physical location with a phone number. Other than that, I can't think of one reason why you'd want to have one. You certainly don't need one. And I'm a minute and a half left to go. Okay, how many people think that I'm even halfway close to what's going to happen? Wow. Thank you for the vote of confidence. I'm sure you will look back in 5 or 10 years and have the laugh of your life because it's gone a completely different direction. But at least what I've done now is make you think. Thank you very much.